Good evening, I am Gary Black with the KUAC News Minor Update. A Yukon Quest musher has been rescued from the trail by helicopter. Jason Campo from Atka Kennel in Rocky Mountain Horse, Alberta, pressed the help button on his race tracking device at 12:28 p.m. Wednesday, according to Yukon Quest officials. He was 45 miles outside of the Eagle checkpoint and on his way to Dawson City, the first race checkpoint in Canada. A military helicopter picked up a musher believed to be Campo on Thursday. Alaska State Troopers spokeswoman Megan Peters confirmed to the Newsminer that a musher had been picked up, although she would not release the name of the individual. Yukon Quest officials said Jason Campo suffered a medical issue that made it difficult for him to continue the race and provide sufficient care for his dog team. He will be flown to and admitted to a hospital here in Fairbanks for medical attention, while his team will be driven back to Eagle and flown to Dawson City, where his handlers and parents are waiting. His wife, Jennifer, who also is running the quest, scratched from the race at the Eagle checkpoint this afternoon. She cited personal reasons, according to a Yukon Quest news release. If you were surprised when EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt took a left turn on the proposed Pebble Mine last month, well, you're not alone. It seems Senator Lisa Murkowski was too. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin caught up with the senator at the Capitol recently and asked her what she thought of Pruitt's decision to keep alive a proposal from the Obama administration that protected the headwaters of Bristol Bay from potential harm that the giant copper mine could have caused. At the time, Murkowski and other Republicans complained that Obama's action was an egregious federal overreach.
Murkowski says she got the news from Pruitt just before the public announcement.
I think I was just generally surprised. And I think part of it is because the administrator has typically taken an approach that less I don't want to say less regulation, because that's
Murkowski chose her words carefully.
He has been more favorably inclined to find paths forward where there have been regulatory impediments placed.
Murkowski has not taken a position for or against the mine, but she was highly critical when President Obama's EPA proposed restrictions on Pebble, prohibiting it from damaging more than 5 miles of fish streams, among other limits. Murkowski called that a preemptive veto. Pebble had not yet applied for its permits. Murkowski says what the Trump administration has done is different.
The action that they took does not halt Pebble's application. It says that they may continue through that process. That's the difference.
But Obama's EPA administrator said her action wasn't blocking Pebble's application either. Here's then-Administrator Gina McCarthy in 2014.
If the company is ready for the permit application, they're still free to submit that, and we'd encourage that.
Pebble did not file its application until late last year. Murkowski says Administrator Pruitt wants a credible process and has set a high bar for Pebble to meet. Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
A study of polar bears in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is getting increased attention in light of Congress's opening the coastal area to oil drilling. Alaska's Energy Desk's Elizabeth Jenkins reports.
Polar bear biologist with the United States Geological Survey, Todd Atwood, says historically, Beaufort Sea bears would den in the winter on ice. That was the case 15 years ago when his agency put together a report on animals living in ANWR. But an update to that report suggests that larger numbers of polar bears are denning on land. Also, the bears are coming ashore to scavenge for food as the quality of sea ice diminishes.
People and polar bears in the same place and then, you know, a big pile of tasty bowhead whale scraps to attract the bears and keep them, you know, keep them focused on that area.
Add to that the industrial activity we could expect in a newly opened ANWR.
How many people are we going to have sharing space with how many bears, and how is that all going to shake out in a way that bears aren't at risk and people aren't at risk?
He says the concern is that polar bears could be driven from their den earlier than normal from all the racket. But Atwood says wildlife biologists aren't completely in the dark with how this could play out.
The Prudhoe Bay industrial footprint, I mean, they've been sharing space with polar bears for, you know, decades now.
Once the infrastructure is built, Atwood says there are ways to mitigate harm. Oil companies have to comply with federal guidelines and report polar bears denning nearby. Infrared technology has been used to make that detection easier. While oil production is still a ways off, Atwood says the more we can learn in the interim, the better.
Science can only help us in understanding what's likely to happen.
Atwood is going into the field with his team this spring to study denning polar bears and cubs. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
And finally tonight, the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation reported strong returns and a total value of $64 billion, that's billion with a B, in the first half of the 2018 fiscal year. The fund corporation announced the numbers on Monday, highlighting returns of 8.45%, the Alaska Journal of Commerce reported. And for more on tonight's stories or others, visit KUAC.org or Newsminer.com. I am Gary Black.